Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everybody, to Lunch and Learn, Parshas Bamidbar, 5771. Welcome to a new book, but our old theme, Basics, Bamidbar Basics. So, Bamidbar as a book is one that doesn't have a lot of commandments. We're familiar with Bamidbar as a book of mostly stories, a lot of stories. There are some commandments, but the kind of commandments that are given in Bamidbar are kind of local to a particular time. They're not like mitzvahs that are done all the time, like today. The first parsha and a half are all about how the Jewish people are supposed to encamp in the desert. So it's just localized instructions for the desert generation. But Bamidbar is probably most well known for stories. Some of the stories are tragic stories, stories of rebellion, stories of malcontent, and issues and struggles in the Jewish people. So what is the theme of Bamidbar, especially from a basic point of view? I would like to humbly suggest that the theme of Bamidbar, more than anything else, is people. People. You know, Bamidbar is called in the English or the Latin numbers. And numbers comes from the word pekudim. You know, the sages gave a nickname to every book, not the name that we call it, Bamidbar. That just means it's the first important word. But every book has a nickname. And that's where the English or the Latin comes from. So numbers comes from the word pekudim. And the sages nicknamed Bamidbar as the Sefer HaPekudim, the book of numbers, of counting. So a prominent incident in the book of Bamidbar is the counting, the census. So we're going to have that in this parsha. We're counting the people. So it's about people. It's about counting people. Counting people, people counting. It's about people counting. Everybody counts. So I think that the basic theme of Bamidbar is people. Now, if you recall, when we started this year and our basic approach, for several weeks, we kept on reiterating that the world is about Hashem and man. Hashem and man. We're like both, we're partners. We're both main characters in the play. So just like we just finished a book of Vayikra, Commandments from God, here's how you do everything. That's important for us. To connect with God, we have to follow His mitzvos. But there's a whole lot more to people besides just following the commandments. It's also about how people behave. How do we act? What is our unique mission besides the mitzvos? And I think that that is what we're supposed to glean from the book of Bamidbar, is how to look at people, how the Torah reality of people. We're going to learn something tonight that's probably going to surprise you at how important people are. You don't know that even about yourself. So if we are trying to gain a Torah reality, last week we spoke about the Torah reality of Eretz Yisrael, and it's not what most people think. It's a lot holier. It's a lot more profound than most people think. Well, the Torah reality of people is a lot more than people think about themselves. So that's what I want to establish, please God, as the basic default theme for Bamidbar is different lessons, basic lessons, Torah lessons about people. And then, do you remember a few weeks ago, Parshas Kedoshim, I made some comments about my dear mother, Grandma Betty. May she be healthy and strong for many years. And I mentioned some things that I admired about her and things that I learned from her. And I said, I could just as easily spend a whole class talking about my father. So today I would like to incorporate into this all-important theme of people, the great person in my life, my father. May he live and be strong for many years. So all that's on the table for today, please God. So let's begin with just a try to gain a little bit of a taste of the Torah reality for people. So we know that man was created in the image of God, Tzelem Elohim. Our wonderful past principal of Torah Day School, Rabbi Rosenbaum, taught us all to say and to think and to just rattle off the words, I am a worthwhile person because I am created Tzelem Elohim, in the image of God. Everything I think, say, and do must show that I am created Tzelem Elohim, in the image of God. So what does it mean? How important am I? Or are you? There's a joke. I'm sure you've heard it. Two people are having a fierce argument, and they can't settle it, so they say, let's go to the rabbi. So they go to the rabbi, and the rabbi says to the first person, let me hear your story. So he tells the story, and the rabbi thinks, he says, you know, you're right. So then the other guy says, well, listen to my side. So the other says, okay, what's your side? So he tells him his argument. When the rabbi finishes, he listens and says, you know, you're right. And then the joke concludes where the Rebbetzin says, how can they both be right? They're arguing with each other. And the rabbi says, you know, you're right. So it's a joke, but I think I understand why it's true. This past week, I learned a very important lesson from my friend Jan Siegelman. There's a lot of wisdom. And he said that in relationships, you have to learn how to acknowledge someone. Acknowledge, is that the word? I acknowledge, acknowledgement. You have to learn how to acknowledge another person and their position or their opinion. Especially those relationships that really count. You have to make them right. And he said, and this is what kind of like took me for a spin, he says, that doesn't mean you have to agree with them. You just have to make them right. Because everybody has an opinion. And everybody has a perspective. And everybody has a reason to think what they think. And there's validity to it. And you've got to make them right. You've got to hear, first and foremost, hear, listen, think about it, think about the merits, understand it, and validate it and acknowledge it. Is this a Torah concept? How many of you think this is a Torah concept? Or is this just a modern psychological concept? How do we know this is a Torah concept? Come on, everybody's right? In Jewish law, isn't it all about whose opinion do we follow? And what's the psak? What's the final ruling? And what does the Torah say? How could this be a Torah concept? So I would like to present two validating sources to show that this idea of acknowledging a person, validating a person, making them right, is indeed not just a Torah concept. It is one of the most essential concepts for Torah reality on understanding people. Source number one, I had heard it many years ago. There's a line, I couldn't find it. So I remember that we had seen it in the real Hebrew writings of Rabbi Volba, in his second volume, a huge book on modern-day Mussar. And he quotes a statement from Reishis Chachma. Reishis Chachma is an early, maybe like a couple hundred years ago, 300-400 years ago, maybe. And that's why it's not a common source. He says, he quotes there, and we can take his word for it that this is true, even though it's not from the Talmud. Reishis Chachma quotes the following. At the time when a person is given his ultimate judgment, like when he goes to the heavenly tribunal, he's asked several questions and he's got to give an accounting. One of the questions is this. Himlachta chavercha alecha benachas ruach? Have you himlachta? The root of the word himlachta is melech. Have you coronated your friend as king upon you? Have you made your friend king? That means, have you given him the honor due kings? Have you nullified yourself? Have you nullified your will before his will? Have you made him right? And Rabbi Volba qualifies this. It says, doesn't mean that every person has necessarily a say in halacha or, you know, Torah truths. That is a matter for God. And only certain qualified people are spokesmen for halacha and for what we call Das Torah. But everything else, even the discussions about Torah, even the give and take, trying to clarify the halacha, everybody has a dea, everybody has an opinion, and everybody has expertise in certain areas. And in that case, my obligation as a person, vis-a-vis another, is to make that person the king in terms of listening to their opinions and acknowledging and validating and making them right. Once again, I think that what Jan said is true. That doesn't mean I have to agree with them, but I have to listen, and maybe they're right, and maybe I will in the end disagree, but I certainly have to acknowledge and validate who they are and what they're saying. That's amazing. This is the part that I said, I'll bet you didn't know what the Torah says about people. Every person is a king to me. Every other person is a king to me. Very, very hard concept. And then he writes that this Torah reality, this Torah concept, is in great contrast to the way people think in the world today. In our generation, Rabbi Wolbe just passed away 10 years ago, nobody wants to accept what anybody else has to say. A person, in fact, thinks that it's a weakness if you give in. If you nullify your opinion to somebody else's, you're weak. But the Torah says that we must value and respect the godliness in every other person. And therefore, nullifying one's own opinion in the sense of trying to understand it, trying to lower himself to hear it, and to acknowledge somebody else's. This is Hislamdus Shel Kvod HaTzelem Elokim. This is training in the honor of Tzelem Elokim, in the image of God that the other person is. Okay, so that's source number one. Everyone's a king. Then, source number two is this. And this is also going to surprise you. We know that there is a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, honoring father and mother. Okay, so what does that mean? So, classically, the Talmud defines it, it means attending to them. Most importantly, when they're older, when they need assistance, food and drink, transportation, getting settled, moving, etc. We know all the things that parents need. That's what it means in a classical halachic sense. But there is a statement that I heard in the name of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I think he passed away in the 70s. Rabbi Ilan Feldman, when he was with his family on sabbatical in Israel, he studied under Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was a great gadol, great Torah giant, both in Talmudic learning as well as Musar. So he said the following, do you know what all is entailed in the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim? He says, a child must look at his parents, mother and father, must study them, must analyze them, and must figure out how his two parents are gedolei hador, are the great leaders of the generation in their unique, special way. Every parent, my parent, is a gadol hador, is the leader of the generation, and that is the obligation of every child about his two parents. And he says, he writes, if you do all the service you can, you want to, you give them all the food and all the care and all the transportation, everything, if you don't view them in this way, you haven't fulfilled the Torah's obligation. Gadol Hador. How many people are called a Gadol Hador? Right? Rav Moshe Feinstein, Gadol Hador. My father? My mother? Yes. In their way. Now, you'll say to me, okay, that's my parents. But what about everybody else? But everybody is one of those people. This is my own extrapolation. What Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is really saying is that everybody is a Gadol Hador. It's just that I don't have the obligation of looking at everybody that way. I only have to do that to my parents. But that means that everybody is so unique that they can be regarded in their certain area as a Gadol Hador, men and women. Now, is that striking? Is that something about Torah reality, about people, that every person is that great, that they are a Gadol Hador in their own right? Doesn't mean that they have the necessarily the Torah knowledge that they could be the Gadol Hador in halachic rulings, but in something unique about their intellectual and emotional makeup, in their life experiences, in the way they act, the way they deal with people, the responsibilities that they take. Incredible. Just as we underestimate almost everything compared to the standards of Torah, I think that our view, our perspective on people is just minute compared to the value that the Torah places on every single person. So, let's segue now into my Kibud Avoyim. All right? Being that every person is B'Tzelem Elokim, being that every person is great, being that every individual has a unique obligation to see the greatness in their parents, being that the Sefer Bamidbar is all about people, and the Parsha of Bamidbar, the phrase Se'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael l'mishpechosam l'veis avosam, take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel according to their families, according to their father's household. That phrase Levesa Vosa must come out umpteen times in this parsha. Every person needs to go back and look at their avos, look at their ancestors, their fathers, their mothers, their grandparents, and as Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, study them and see their greatness. So I would like to make a few comments about Avi Mori, my father and teacher. May he live and be well for many strong and healthy years. I would like to make a few of my own humble comments. You listening, Dad? I'm not going to talk about everything. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do justice to that. I would like to focus on one aspect which relates to something which is very much a part of my life, and I would like to relate it back to my father. And that has to do with my occupation. As you know, I have had the blessing to grow up in a religious home, and I have been inspired by my rabbis and teachers and my parents to pursue a life of Torah learning and teaching. And I remember a few weeks ago we were reading Rabbi Wolbe's Pathways, a brief introduction to the world of Torah. And this is what he writes about learning Torah. The Torah's instrument in solving life problems is halacha. Halacha is a body of laws, but the essence of halacha is the way the laws are formulated. The process is rooted in, and he mentions three attributes. The process of learning is rooted in logic, deep ethics, and unconditional truth-seeking. These are the three elements which Rabbi Wolbe says are essential for learning the halachic process, to be able to conclude in the practical aspects of Torah living, halacha. The way to get to that is through a process. And these are the three most important elements for that. It is an experience to study Talmud for an hour. The novice discovers what the Ramban stated, to study Torah is to realize its divinity. So, because I have devoted my life in my small way to learning Talmud and learning Halacha and teaching it, trying to teach it, And because Rabbi Wolbe says that this process of learning is rooted in logic, deep ethics, and unconditional truth-seeking, I would like to say that these three elements are things that I have found in my father. And not just casually, but very seriously. And I would like to just share a couple of insights into these three elements that I have seen in my father and that I have inherited in my small way from my father. Logic. My father was trained as an attorney. And, you know, I never really saw him in action. I had heard him at the table sometimes talking about things. But I could just imagine my father as an attorney. I could imagine him in a courtroom. I could imagine him counseling a client. I could imagine him making arguments. And my father was and is and continues to be a master of logic. He's always thinking. He's always creative in his thinking. He comes up with original thoughts and rationale and reasoning. And he knows how to state them. He knows how to present them. He knows how to argue them. And very passionately. And it's always something which is very much rooted in logic. And I find myself, when I study Talmud, when I argue with my chavrusa, I hear my father's voice. My father's name is Shlomo. Shlomo was one of our seven shepherds, and he was the great father of chachma, of wisdom. This is something which I admire in my father, and I'm blessed to be his son and to inherit in some way that logic and that ability to present in a logical fashion. So thank you, Dad, for that. Deep ethics. Anyone who knows my father knows of his midos, of his character traits, which anyone who knows him is just impressed and taken by his just refinement of character, his peace-seeking ways, never looking for a confrontation, on the contrary, always looking to be conciliatory, to be friendly. He's one of people's best friends. People just love to speak with him, young and old alike. They always find that he's respectful to them and he's interested in them. So these midos of peace, of respect, respect of a community, he's not somebody to stand out, and he's very supportive of the community. That doesn't mean that he agrees with everything, but he will always seek to be a team player. And included in his respect is his respect for Torah, authority, to Rabbanim. I'm going to speak a little bit more about my father's connection to Torah in a moment. But clearly, and it's surprising, and this is what separates Torah from other wisdoms, is that Rabbi Wolbe is teaching us, in order to study Torah, it's not just enough to have logic. You have to have ethics. You have to be a mensch. You have to have good midos in order to successfully study Torah. Because if you're an arrogant person, if you just want to be heard and you just want to win the argument, you are not going to succeed at studying Torah. You have to have ethics. You have to be humble. You have to be willing to make somebody else king in order to study Torah. And this is something, this ethical approach is something, once again, which I admire in my father, and I am blessed to be his son and to inherit in a small way this concept of ethics. Thanks, Dad. And finally, the third element of truth seeking. My father, as many of his generation, was a product of the Holocaust and its aftermath. Thank God my father was never persecuted, although his family was pursued and they had to hide, and by the grace of God they were saved. They were in Denmark and they were helped, almost all the Jews of Denmark were helped to escape by Danish citizens, and so they never formally were incarcerated or persecuted in that manner. But he certainly lived through the upheaval of the Holocaust. When they lived in Denmark for most of his childhood, he was able to go, thank God, to a Jewish school, but it wasn't a very high, sophisticated level of Torah education. And then he found himself a Czechoslovakian who was raised in Denmark, finally on the North American shores, growing up in French-speaking Montreal, Canada. And so all of this upheaval was going on. His parents, always looking to give Jewish education to their children, sent him to a yeshiva. He tasted the authentic flavor of Torah study with Rabbanim and Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars. He also had some yeshiva training after high school in the Yeshiva University and in Torah Vidas in New York. And he truly got to taste that authentic Torah learning of the yeshivas. His own professional path, as I mentioned, was in law. Most of his contemporaries, they didn't have the kollel movement like we have today, and most of them went into professions and careers. But all of his life, he and my mother together were totally and doggedly determined to preserve the Torah chinuch for their children. They moved to a smaller Jewish community in Ohio, where they helped found the Jewish day school there. And ultimately, they always put the chinuch, the education of their children, first and foremost in all the decisions that they made. So when I talk about truth-seeking, for example, when my father moved to Akron, which is where we lived for 14 years, I was born there and lived till I was almost bar mitzvah, you know, he made special arrangements with the rabbi that he should learn extra with us, with my brother, with myself, always seeking opportunities to learn for himself and also for his children. Over the years, my father has made comments which I've been surprised by, just how deep his respect for Torah and for Torah scholars is, in spite of the fact that his own experience was more in the professional world. One time, he spent a Shabbos with us in Baltimore because we had just had a baby, and he spent the Shabbos, his reading was, he picked up a book on the life of Rav Yisrael Salanter. I don't know if he remembers this, but Rav Yisrael Salanter, as we know, was the father of the Musar movement. He lived in, where did he live? Lithuania. He also spent some time in Paris, I think. So Rav Salanter was, you know, he was a revolution in his time of waking people up to the fact that we have to learn Musar and ethics. We can't just study Talmud all the time. Anyway, my father was basically reading this biography. And we were walking to shul, and he said to me, I can really respect somebody like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter because he really believed in this and he dedicated himself to this wholeheartedly. There's something to be said, even though it's not worldly, even though it's not a profession, I can respect somebody like that. And those kinds of comments impressed upon me both my dad's inner truth-seeking as well as something that I think, once again, I was blessed to be able to inherit in my small way from Dad. Until this day, my father has a profound respect for Rabbanim. Now, he's very discerning about truth-seeking, so that means he will possibly detect when somebody may not be motivated by what he considers to be pure motives. He will not be impressed by someone who kind of mixes messages. Again, that truth-seeking, he'll have a profound respect for those individuals that he feels truly represent the truth of Torah. So once again, I would like to thank you, Dad, for this aspect of who you are. Logic, deep ethics, unconditional truth-seeking. It's the formula for success in Torah. And certainly, again, this is not my total description of you. I'm not talking about your musicality. I'm not talking about your chazanus. I'm just saying that I see you. I see my father in his way as Gadol Hador, as being unique in his generation through all that that generation went through. You know, being so involved in the popular culture, being so involved in secularism, in the secular world, being involved in the legal system, being in the government, and yet knowing how to discern the Torah reality this is something which is so, so valuable and so impressive. And I hope that I fulfill a little bit of my obligation of Kibud Av V'Em in this way. Okay, so this is installment number one of the Book of Bamidbar. We are here to learn Torah reality. We have an important job to focus now. After learning about mitzvos in the book of Vayikra, we have an important job of focusing on the reality of people. We've seen today that people are more important than we realize, that everybody is a melech, everybody has valid opinions, everybody should be listened to and considered and revered, particularly our parents in our eyes. And Emir Tashem, we look forward to other lessons that we will reap from Sefer Bamidbar on the Torah reality of people. Have a wonderful Shabbos, and thank you for your patience, and let me hear from you. Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank you for giving that over about your father, because it made me think.
Thank you for acknowledging.
It made me think about my parents, Elisham, mm-hmm. And even though I wasn't brought up in a house that was observant at the time, each of my parents had something so special, ethics and with truth and with the way they lived their lives, that it made me think about my parents, mm-hmm. how I can think mm-hmm. about them on a higher mm-hmm. level even, mm-hmm. regardless of where they were holding mm-hmm. because what happened in America and, mm-hmm. and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was a beautiful thing to do. I mean, I was listening about your father and really thinking what a beautiful thing, and also about my parents, Elishon, and every single person, every yeah. single human being. I thought that was a great class. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for that validation. Can I share one more story? I've probably done it before, but I love it. About seeing the best in people. You know, there was one rabbi from maybe 200 years ago, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, known as the Berdichever. He excelled in finding the best in people. Now, there's many, many stories about how he used to do that. So there's one time he was sitting around his Shabbos table about to make Kiddush. And he pauses and he waits and he looks around the room and he just is not making kiddush. He's just sitting there. And everyone's like wondering, like, what's wrong? What's bothering him? And then suddenly a smile lights up on his face and he makes kiddush. So afterwards, somebody said, what was the story? He says, I have a personal custom. I invite all kinds of people to my table. Sometimes they're not the biggest contributors to society. And I like to look at each person at the table and think of something special about each one that I look up to. But today, there was just one person there, and I was having a hard time. I couldn't find anything that I really looked up to them for. I couldn't think, like, what would I learn from that person? So then the person, yeah, but you finally did. He says, what did you think of? I says, I thought to myself, that person is special, because if I had been him, I probably wouldn't even be at a Shabbos table. So he could find the best in everybody, even when there was nothing to find. I'd like to start. Shkoyach, have a wonderful Shabbos.